Thank you for inviting me to speak to you. I gather that many of you have been sitting for, I'll call it session, I don't know what you call it, several days this past weekend. And you got to then continue your session after the formal time ended, and you, so to speak, returned to your life. It's important to know that our practice is our life, and our life requires periods of intense sitting, intense practice, so that it's the sitting, the walking, and all the other activities. And it also requires all the other activities that we as individuals live in being humans, in being in a world with others, and discovering, if I put it simply, how our likes and dislikes, our, to use a more traditional term, picking and choosing, creates difficulties for us and for others. When I say picking and choosing, in a way I'm echoing one of the earliest texts in the Zen tradition, the Xinxin Ming, often translated as unbelieving mind, or various other ways to translate those texts, which begins with the supreme way is without difficulty. It just avoids picking and choosing. Supreme way, the ultimate path, the perfect way. The truth of who we are is not difficult. It's not difficult to be who we truly are. It's not difficult to be just this moment. And yet, there's great difficulty in us just being this, because we believe our picking and choosing, not just mentally, but in our very being, in our seemingly natural reactions, in our seemingly natural sense of seeing, hearing, feeling this inside, outside, and all the other ways that we have of doing what we can call caught in self-centered dream. Now, those are just habits. No problems with them except when we believe those habits. Then, the perfect way, the supreme way, the truth of what our life is, gets covered over for us. Covered over by our beliefs about myself, about others, about what's good and bad, about how to react, whether it's sad, angry, and all the other various permutations that we have of reacting to circumstances in terms of our thoughts and emotions, rather than being this moment and yet not being blinded by our stories about this moment. So, in a sense, what we do when we sit, as you all know, is on one hand, we discover all the ways that we are blinded or distorted by thoughts that arise, feelings, memories, stories, beliefs about. We all discover this over and over. The various, what we might call, forms that this ever-changing, always-changing life manifests as, and the almost automatic ways that we react. This is one of the reasons that Joko put so much emphasis on noticing where and what is arising. Not in order to keep some track of it or to grade it, but so that we can then, in a sense, be this experiencing. And of course, she talked about the various, I'll say, levels or layers of how our picking and choosing functions for us. How it functions for me is different than how it functions for you. And it's not important for you to know how it functions for others, except to the extent that it enables you, enables each of us, to notice when we're holding to complaints, or to stories, or to judgments. Noticing them is only the opportunity to be this moment. It's not an opportunity to figure them out, or to try to get rid of them, because they naturally arise and pass. If we can return to being just this moment, which is what Zazening, whether in formal sitting or throughout the day, experiencing, hearing, seeing, tasting, feeling in the various ways of physicality, of experiencing, offers us. And the natural wisdom that we are allows us to notice all the more as we become more sensitive, as we become, I shouldn't say become more sensitive, as we are sensitive more and more to what's going on. So, whether it's talking about core belief, which Joko uses as a concept for us to notice our way, habit of picking and choosing, our particular one, which it's necessary for each of us to notice, not to figure out, but to keep on being sensitive to, so that every time there's a hint of it, as if you put something in your mouth and there's a hint of a little something that you're sensitive to, we could begin noticing where that's running or where it's giving rise to, I like that, I don't like it, it's not fair, I'm so upset, or the various other ways. but those, what we might call, what the Buddha calls, therein, thereby. The Buddha specifically talks about that, how we add that on to our hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, our cognizing, our experiencing of this life that is our opportunity. When we add those on, we make trouble. And the Buddha says that's the only trouble we make. In a sutra known as the Bahiya Sutra, he says, when hearing, just hear, when seeing, just see, when cognizing, just cognize. And that if there is no therein, thereby, and that's of course an English translation of the Pali or Sanskrit text, then that's the end of suffering. Or, as we say in the Heart Sutra, I'm not sure what translation you use, so we say Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, doing deep prajna paramita, clearly saw the emptiness of all the five conditions, which is what we would, what I was just referring to, what the Buddha's referring to. And what does that do? That relieves misfortune, completely relieves misfortune, pain. Call that completely relieves suffering, completely relieves our need, our habit, or at least lets us notice our habit of reacting in ways that cause harming and suffering by believing our story, judgment. So, picking and choosing is not something we usually, what should I say, believe we have a choice of. Funny way to say about picking and choosing. We do it as if it's our second nature. And in fact, we do it as if it's our first nature, over and over and over and over throughout the day. And therefore, if we are going to study self, as Dogen encourages us, which means, as we say, to notice what we're holding on to notice what we're believing, and then forget self by allowing ourselves to be the experiencing of the moment, to be the hearing, seeing, that we can't avoid. None of us can avoid it. We could avoid attending to it. We could miss it. But we can't avoid it since it is our very life. To whichever extent it is, however it is for you, there isn't a perfect way to do it. Their way is to do it perfectly as you are. See? That's what the perfect way knows no difficulty. That means you have no difficulty in being who you are. And yet, we can miss who we are. When we are caught up in those beliefs, we could miss what our life is inside outside when we believe stories of inside outside, of self and others, of he is that way, she isn't that way. When, if I use a different term, the core belief is running, we all of a sudden feel, I've got to do something about that. Or that's not okay, or this is terrible, or whatever the specific form of that arising passing. Core belief is just a habit. It's a very, what should I say, deeply intertwined habit in the life force that we are. But it's not who we are, and yet it's not other than who we are. It's simply a self-centered dream. In fact, it is very much our story of self. And it's what we get to practice with, to study, if to go back to Dogen's formulation, because the form of our life is the form of emptiness, is the perfect path, way for us to manifest this universe that we are. And that's what our whole practice is about, is manifesting the universe we are, as opposed to the story that we believe when we're picking, choosing, caught in dream, whatever way we say it. But those are just generalities. Those are just guidelines for each of us to do our particular practice. And it's our particular practice that is our life opportunity. I'd say it another way. The whole point of our life is to manifest our practice. And manifesting our practice is to enable us to be the perfect way. Enabling us to be the perfect way is enabling us to relieve suffering and harming of all beings, ourselves and everyone else we encounter, because your name is Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva. You're not anyone else, except that you think you are. We think we are. And that's where we get in trouble. So the whole point of our practice, if we say practice, if we use a word like Zen, is to be who we always are and to cease to be who we always think we are, or I shouldn't say always, often think we are, or as stated, to cease to be the complaints, the ungratefulness, the greed, anger, delusion, to use more general terms, the therein and thereby's that cover over this moment of our life. Now, I could speak more, but I think it's more useful in this sort of setting for us to do this as a discussion. I mean, I love to talk about texts. It's one of my, habits. And I know it. And I enjoy it and can make good use of it. But I don't know that it's that useful in this sort of setting. You don't need know texts. You've all read more texts than you need. You all recite many texts all the time. You've all heard many people speak. But what's most important is for you to be able to do your practice of your life, of your life of the universe, with all the circumstances and conditions that arise for you and arise for those with whom you live in a skillful way. Or, as we say, being just this moment, compassion's way. So to be compassion is really just another way of saying being the supreme way. Being this way, that's the universe that we are. This form emptiness, this form form, this emptiness emptiness, whichever word we want to pick up from the sutras. Okay, I'll stop here.